jam, pump it up while your feet are stumping. And the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping.
Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is October 29th, 2020, and I'm your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Buff Up the Lido, Up the Lido, for local anesthetic. And our guest skeptic is Martha Roberts. She is a critical and emergency care triple certified nurse practitioner currently living and working in Sacramento, California. She is the host of EM Boot Camp in Las Vegas, as well as a usual speaker and faculty member for the Center for Continuing Medical Education. She writes a blog called Procedural Pause for Emergency Medicine News and is the lead content editor and director for the video series soon to be included in Roberts and Hedges' Clinical Procedures in Emergency Medicine. Welcome back to the SGM, Martha.
Thank you for the kind introduction. I am really happy to be back talking to my buddy about something I am passionate about, procedures. This month's case is certainly a hot topic in the literature, and I am grateful to be chatting with you. Thank you for having me, Ken.
Martha, I miss doing EM boot camp with you and all the other wonderful faculty, and I would love to come and visit you in Sacramento when COVID is over. I've never been there.
As long as you like 72 and sunny every day, then SAC is the place for you. The recent wildfires have definitely put a damper on my fishing days, but the cool is coming. It's going to set in and we will start to see less smoke and destruction. And I'm currently building a tiny house with a recording studio, so you'll have to come and visit and help me with this once we're all vaccinated.
Well, I asked you to be on this episode because you are the procedure queen with all those great videos you make.
Yes, the procedural pause. I love it. Thank you. The procedural aspect of emergency medicine in both critical and urgent care is thrilling, and I don't know what it is. Sometimes we feel like we can't get to the bottom of chest pain or abdominal pain, and then a big juicy abscess walks in and we feel fulfilled. I am lucky. My patients donate their body for videos and images for our column, the Procedural Pause for Emergency Medicine News. It's a great thing that they do.
Well, the last time you were on the SGEM as a guest skeptic, we did a show on boxer fractures. And we recorded it at ASEP 2019 in Denver. What was the SGEM bottom line from that episode?
Oh, okay. First of all, I am so sad we are not at ASEP this year in person. You and I always have so much fun. Remember the club that we dragged Rip Bucata to at midnight? And 2019 was also the year when you won the ASEP Award for Outstanding Contribution in Education. That was good times. And congrats again. But I digress. Yes. We talked about splinting and boxers fractures. The bottom line, consider offering patients with uncomplicated boxers fractures buddy taping. It really works.
Well, that was a really interesting little study out of Australia. What case do you have for us this time?
Okay, here's the case. 35-year-old female arrives to the emergency department with a 3-centimeter laceration to the palmar surface of her left forearm, sustained by a clean kitchen knife while emptying the dishwasher. The patient reports a fear of needles and has concerns about locally anesthetizing the area because I got stitches on my arm once before and that shot burned like crazy. The patient asks the practitioner if there is any chance she can get a shot that burns less than her last one.
Well, we've covered wound care a number of times on the SGEM. This has included some myth busting way back on SGEM number 9 called Who Let the Dogs Out? The episode busted how many myths? Was it 4 myths?
I think it was actually 5 myths about simple wound care in the emergency department.
Go figure, 5. Okay, well, the first one was about patient priorities.
Okay, so infection is not the number one priority usually for patients. For non-facial wounds, it is function. And for facial wounds, it is cosmetic, unless you're a hand model. This is in contrast to clinicians' number one priority, that's usually infection.
And the second myth we talked about was the dilution solution.
You don't need some fancy solution, sterile water, normal saline, etc., to clean a wound. Tap water is usually just fine. The solution is dilution.
And sterile gloves?
Okay, you don't need sterile gloves for simple wound treatment. Non-sterile gloves are just fine. Save the sterile gloves for sterile procedures like lumbar punctures.
And the fourth one, oh, this is a classic, epinephrine in local anesthetics.
Okay, another one. This will not make the tips of things fall off, like the nose, the fingers, the toes, etc. Epinephrine containing local anesthetics can be used without the fear of an appendage falling off.
And the fifth and final thing was all simple lacerations need sutures?
No, simple hand lacerations less than 2 centimeters don't need sutures. Glue can also be used in many other areas, including crisscross hair for scalp laceration. And that's a Diane Birnbauer favorite, by the way. Both Ken and I have covered these topics in the past, both on the SGEM and the procedural pause.
And Dr. Birnbaumer has been on the SGEM as a legend of emergency medicine. There are some other SGEM episodes on wound care. Let's go through those. SGEM number 63 was Goldfinger. More dogma of wound care, and that was with superstar Dr. Eve Purdy.
This episode looked at how long do you have to close a wound. The bottom line was that there is no good evidence to show that there is an association between infection and time from injury to repair.
And then on SGEM number 156, working at the abscess wash. That was another great episode with physician assistant Chip Lang from Total EM.
I love that, Chip Lang. But the question from that episode was, does irrigation of a cutaneous abscess after incision and drainage reduce the need for further intervention? The answer is no. Irrigation of a cutaneous abscess after an initial incision and drainage is probably not necessary.
And then there was SGEM number 164, cuts like a knife. But you might also need antibiotics for uncomplicated skin abscesses. Chip Lang was back again, and we covered a paper by Dr. David Tallon, published in the New England Journal of Medicine back in 2016.
And thanks to Chip again for that. The SGEM bottom line, the addition of Bactrim to treat uncomplicated cutaneous abscesses represents an opportunity for shared decision-making.
And the issue of buffering lidocaine was covered on SGEM number 13. This episode briefly reviewed a Cochrane systematic review and meta-analysis that looked at buffering with 9 milliliters of 1% or 2% lidocaine with 1 ml of 8.4% sodium bicarb.
The systematic review meta-analysis of buffering lidocaine contained 23 studies, with 8 of those 23 studies having moderate to high risk of bias. The SGEM bottom line was that patients might appreciate the extra effort of buffering the lidocaine.
Now, when I put this episode together, interestingly, I went back to check on that previous systematic review put out by Cochrane, and it was withdrawn from publication back in 2015. The reason provided was that the review was no longer compliant with the Cochrane commercial sponsorship policy. The non-conflicted authors on that review decided not to update the review. All right, what's the clinical question for this episode?
Does buffering lidocaine with sodium bicarbonate make local anesthetic less painful?
And the reference?
Fent et al., buffered lidocaine 1%, epinephrine 1 to 100,000 with sodium bicarbonate in a 3-to-1 ratio is less painful than a 9-to-1 ratio, a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled crossover trial. Published in JAD 2020.
All right, Martha, let's run through the PICO. What was the population?
Healthy volunteers aged 18 to 75 years of age.
And there was a number of exclusions, and I'll list those in the show notes. What was the intervention?
Well, they had 3 interventions, or otherwise known here as IMPs, investigational medicinal products. They were injected 5 centimeters distal from the cubital fossa. IMP1 was 1% lidocaine with epinephrine plus sodium bicarbonate in a 3-to-1 mixing ratio.
And then the second intervention, IMP2, was the same 1% lido with epinephrine plus sodium bicarb in a 9-to-1 mixing ratio.
Okay, and then they had this IMP3, which was 1% lidocaine with epinephrine.
And then what did they compare it to?
They had a placebo of 0.9% sodium chloride, IMP4.
All right, let's run through the outcomes. What was the primary outcome?
Pain during infiltration on a numerical rating scale, 0 to 10, with 0 being no pain and 10 being unacceptable pain.
All right, and how about the secondary outcomes?
They looked at patient comfort during infiltration, and there were four categorical terms: desirable, acceptable, less acceptable, or unacceptable. And duration of local anesthesia, 30-minute intervals up to 3 hours, using a standardized laser stimulus. Numbness, yes or no?
All right. The author's conclusions were, quote, lidoepi sodium bicarb mixtures effectively reduce burning pain during infiltration. The 3-to-1 mixing ratio is significantly less painful than the 9-to-1 ratio. Reported findings are of high practical relevance given the extensive use of local anesthetic today. End of quote. All right, Martha, let's run through the quality checklist for randomized clinical trials. You ready to go?
Ready.
All right, question number one. The study populations included or focused on those in the emergency department?
No.
The patients were adequately randomized?
Yes.
The randomization process was concealed?
Yes, actually each patient was randomly allocated a different order of injections. The patient only saw a single syringe of fluid. To ensure a blind test and to guarantee product conformity, stability on the day of injection, IMP 1 through 4 were prepared as sets of two identical vials, which were 5 mLs, one containing lidoepi in appropriate concentrations. The mixing took place within 1 minute prior to the infiltration, giving the instability of lidoepi buffered concentrations. The results of the volunteers were recorded on a piece of paper.
All right, question number four. The patients were analyzed in the groups to which they were randomized.
Yes.
Did they recruit the patients consecutively?
Unsure.
The patients in both groups were similar with respect to prognostic factors.
Also unsure.
All participants were unaware of group allocation?
We're going to say unsure on this one too.
All groups were treated equally except for the intervention.
Yes.
Follow-up was complete?
Yes.
All patient-important outcomes were considered?
Yes.
And the treatment effect was large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
Unsure.
All right, let's go through those results. They enrolled 48 volunteers, 21 males and 27 females, aged 21 to 62, with a mean age of 31 years. What was the key result?
Buffering lidocaine made injections less painful.
All right, let's run through those in a little bit more detail. The primary outcome, that was pain during infiltration.
So the IMP-1, the 3-to-1 mixture, was less painful than the IMP-2, the 9-to-1 mixture.
And then the IMP-3, that was the unbuffered, that was just the straight lido with epinephrine, was more painful than IMP-1 or IMP-2.
And then the placebo, the IMP-4, was more painful than IMP-1 through 3.
All right, and the secondary outcomes, this was patient discomfort during infiltration. The IMP-1, that 3-to-1 mixture, had the least reported discomfort, and the IMP-4, that was the placebo group, reported the most discomfort.
Duration of local anesthetic? Laser-induced pain was absent in the injection areas for IMP-1 through 3 intervention groups between 5 minutes and 3 hours after infiltration, but not for IMP-4, the placebo.
All right, Martha, you know what time it is?
Nerdy.
Yes, it's time to talk nerdy with me. And we've got 5 nerdy points, and I'll go through the first one. And that's external validity. These healthy volunteers with a mean age of 31 years may not represent the patients we see for simple wound repairs in the emergency department. It was also conducted in Germany. We do not know any details about the volunteers except for the age and self-identified gender. Cultural and social factors can play a role in the perception of acute and chronic pain, and I'll put some additional reading in the show notes.
Blinding. Anyone who has local anesthetic knows it hurts. I certainly can tell you that from experience. If the patients were aware of the hypothesis buffering would minimize pain, this could have biased the subjective self-reporting from the primary outcome to have a larger effect size.
And then the third nerdy point is the sample size itself. This was a relatively small study with 48 volunteers. Are the results large enough? A 3-point difference on a numeric rating scale value, and precise enough, no 95% confidence intervals were provided for the point estimate to be clinically relevant.
Number four, shelf life. Well, we get to have bottles of sodium bicarbonate and would usually only require a small amount to buffer the amount of lidocaine needed to treat a single patient, right? So this could lead to a great deal of waste. Sodium bicarbonate is not expensive, but take a small number and multiply it by a big number. Number of simple wound repairs done per day can end up being a large number. One way around that would be to mix up a large amount at the start of a shift. However, the stability of the buffered lidocaine sodium bicarbonate solution is limited. It would be great if a stable commercial product was available in the less than 10 ml solutions we typically require.
And the fifth and final nerdy point is alternatives. There are other methods that can be used to minimize the pain of local anesthetic injections. That includes, but is not limited to, getting the let out. And let stands for lidocaine, epinephrine, and tetracaine used topically. All right, it's time to comment on the author's conclusions and compare them to the SGEM's conclusion.
We agree that buffering lidocaine with sodium bicarbonate decreases pain during infiltration and that a 3-to-1 mixture is better than a 9-to-1 mixture. We are not as sure of the high practical relevance.
Yeah, and that practical relevance is just because they don't have a stable commercial product, and we'd have to take, you know, these big bottles of sodium bicarb and take out a small amount and add them to the local anesthetic and then discard the rest. All right, the SGEM bottom line.
Consider buffering your lidocaine with 3-to-1 sodium bicarbonate mixture, and that will decrease the discomfort of local anesthetic infiltration.
Martha, can you resolve the case that you presented about that woman that was nervous about having that local anesthetic injected because it burned so much the last time?
Absolutely. You know I aim to please and make people feel comfortable. Procedures don't have to be painful. You inform her that there is a way to make the local injection not burn. You mix up 1% lidocaine in a 3-to-1 mixture with sodium bicarbonate. She feels less burn, and she leaves very happy with post-suture instructions.
So how are you going to take this paper, this 48 volunteer paper, and apply it clinically with what we already know?
If the patient expresses fears about the anesthetic injection, buffering the lidocaine may be a suitable option. The practical aspects of how sodium bicarbonate comes, the volume, and short shelf life limits the generalizability to use in all patients at this time.
So what are you actually going to tell the patient at the bedside?
I want to make sure you are all numbed up around your cut. This will make it easier for you and for me to do the stitches. I know the freezing can really burn, and this can be scary for many people. I could buffer the injection with something called bicarb. Mixing it with the lidocaine can help lessen the burn and pain from the injection.
All right, it's time to announce the Keener contest. Last week's winner was Dr. Stephen Steltz from New Zealand. A back-to-back win for Dr. Steltz. He knew the Simon Personal Communicator was produced by IBM in 1992 and went on sale in 1994 and is widely credited as the first smartphone. Martha, what's the question this week?
It's a good one, Ken. What is the name of the life-threatening adverse event that may occur after the administration of local anesthetic drugs?
Well, that is the last thing you want to see happen after injecting someone with lidocaine. If you know the answer of this toxic reaction, then send an email to thesgem@gmail.com with Keener in the subject line. The first correct answer will receive a cool skeptical prize. Well, thanks, Martha. I hope we can get back to boot camp in Las Vegas. It's supposed to happen in July 2021.
Do you think 2021 will happen?
What, you mean the boot camp?
No, like the year. Will we make it to 2021?
I just thought we'd do a do-over.
All right, well, I'll hope for the best.
You keep hoping for the best, but while you're thinking about hoping for the best, I still need you to read the SGEM tagline.
You got it, friend, and thanks for having me. Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next time.